Okay, this is Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren, third Wednesday of the month, and we're here with Bloomington's John Hamilton. Hello, welcome. Thanks for having us today.
Joe, always good to be with you. Thanks for being here.
We're at City Hall. You can submit questions at news@indianapublicmedia.org or at Ask the Mayor on Twitter. Primary election is over. Of course, you're not running,
That's
so we
right.
know we're going to have a new mayor,
right.
But a lot of new city council members as well. How do you feel about the outcome of the election?
Well, it was different. I had not having a role in this one the same way, so that was watching from the sidelines. But there was more turnout than the last time I ran, so that was good to see. We still need to see more people getting out to vote in municipal elections, but a couple thousand more, so that was good. And as you indicated, the big shift is probably five new council members at least. And I think they'll be younger, more diverse than we've ever had in our council history. And that's a terrific thing. A lot of new talent, good people, and of course, a new mayor. The election's not till November, and we'll see if the Republicans field a candidate for that. But right now we're pointed toward a few more months of campaigning. But the intense primary is over.
Okay, well, let's just get to the news coming from Cook Medical, cutting 500 jobs, about 123 in Indiana. I thought I heard maybe 60 or 70 in Bloomington. We saw this with Catalent, too, laying off 400 jobs last November. So is this a trend that we're seeing here?
Well, let's hope not. Joe, there's always churn in our employment markets. I mean, one of the things I always remind people, when you hear a statistic that says the economy added 200,000 jobs last month, that's not actually true. What actually happened is the economy added something like 3 million jobs and lost 2.8 million jobs. I mean, there's always churn. Overall, we've seen a lot of job growth in the area with Catalent, with Cook, other employers, new employers, but we're concerned about that. I think big companies like Catalent and Cook can go through transitions. We know with Catalent, they had the change in the immunization and the vaccine that they were doing. The world has changed a lot since the pandemic. So I haven't gotten a chance to talk to CEO Yonkman yet. I will expect to do that soon. But we want to work with them. We're confident there are thousands of employees that will be active here. But it's tricky to see a company have to trim its sails a little bit like that.
Is this part of a changing economy that's happening in Bloomington? And is that something that the city also has to change too?
Well, it's hard to read too much into one announcement like that, I think, Joe. Our economy is changing like the economies around the country. We are seeing more technology, high tech, artificial intelligence, coding. We're seeing more science, if you will, happening. Just looking at Crane and the employment down in Crane and the growth in battery technology, for example, one area. Or we're seeing growth in Indiana, which will affect us, I think, in chip and energy economy. So yes, things are changing. Now, we have a concentration of a lot of healthcare companies here, like Cook and Catalent and Baxter and Boston Scientific, four big companies all in this area. Their world's going to keep changing, but we're going to need their products, I think, for a long, long time.
Well, and you just mentioned Baxter, who sold their Bloomington company too just recently. Is that concerning that those jobs could be on the chopping block?
Well, yes, we're always watching that. But, I remind you, Cook Pharmica was sold to Catalent 5 or 6 years ago for $1 billion with 750 employees. They now have 3,000 employees here in the area. So those kind of transactions, we want to watch and work with them. But from a mayor's seat, the most important thing you can do, I think, is try to make sure you have a great city, high quality of life, a wonderful place to be, good schools, great parks, great living conditions. And that's what we focus on. And I think then the economy will kind of take care of itself.
We were talking with Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett on a previous show. Vigo County really happy about getting a huge manufacturer of electric batteries. You mentioned batteries, the $1.5 billion investment, 640 employees. Can Bloomington attract or try to maintain those type too?
Yes, absolutely, Joe. We big hits like that are important, and Catalent's an example of that here. But I do think in the long run, what you really look for is growing your economy from the bottom up with new companies, expanding companies. Yes, we'll get locations. I'm sure we will. The highway, interstate, will make a little difference to Bloomington, I think, in the coming years. We would expect to see some in the trades district and, you know, some along the highway, I think, will happen. But landing one or two of those is helpful, but it's not really the chart of our future. We want to have great schools. We want to have growing companies like we're growing out of the mill. We want to have our existing companies growing. And I do expect with the CHIPS Act and with the, you know, what Indiana generally is seeing, I think Bloomington will see as well.
Well, something recent we just covered, the City Animal Control Commission wants City Council to approve a proposed ban on deer feeding, no doubt to limit increase in deer. This has been such a topic here, hasn't it, over the years. But I read in our report City Council has yet to receive a formal proposal. I believe it's on your desk and maybe the City Legal Department. So do you have an update on that?
Well, Joe, they don't really need a formal proposal. I mean, the Animal Commission made that recommendation, and any council member can bring forward a piece of legislation, and we'll encourage them to do so. I think I will be looking at it, and I think it's very appropriate to do. We'll support it, I'm confident. If they don't really need us to write the legislation, but we can, you know, we can work with them on that. And I appreciate all the members of the Animal Commission who've been doing hard work and good thinking about this issue.
Is there a city lead group on the urban deer issue?
Like a task force,
yeah,
or something like that?
Yeah.
Really, the Animal Commission is serving
that
role.
They do that. I mean, okay.
You know, before I was mayor, there was a deer task force that made the recommendations about Griffey Lake Preserve and about urban deer. And I basically followed those. They were science-based, but not since then. And it's really migrated into the more general question of animal control.
And I saw we're about 60 complaints about deer mainly. I think it was the southeast
portion.
It is portion.
Mostly the southeast.
Is that still a concern or something that the city...
Well,
is?
We do see, we have concerns. It is not good to feed deer. We've recommended people not to do that. So putting an ordinance in effect may be helpful to enforce that. The science tells us urban deer are very happy. They have a good life compared to life outside the environs of our city. But it does cause stress. It causes stress with traffic. It causes stress with people's gardens. But we really think it's kind of a neighborhood by neighborhood issue from my perspective. It's not currently a health issue, basically, or a big science tells us, hey, these are animals that are feeding on what you've got around you.
I want to get a little bit about the corridor study, because mm-hmm. we're starting to report on that a little bit more, and includes
Great.
Walnut and College Avenue. Most of what catches people's attention, of course, is turning those two main thoroughfares into two-way streets, or now one-way streets. Do you have any update on what's
well,
going on with
don't
that
Don't get ahead of us now, Joe. Don't you say turning them into. We do not know.
Yeah.
One of the issues is to study that question, and that was a recommendation from some work a couple years ago. Doing a corridor study for main arteries like that is important to do every once in a while. We haven't done it for quite a number of years, and it's really to look at the physical layout of the roadways, how do people navigate them, pedestrians, bicyclists, cars, buses, emergency vehicles, commerce, all that stuff. And we want a lot of public input. The study will consider, do we like the one-way alignment of those streets, or would two-way make sense? There are definitely cities around the state and around the country that have switched from one-way, which is primarily to help move vehicular traffic, to two-way, which is primarily to try to activate the streets and the streetscapes more. But it's a big question. I doubt if it'll be decided while I'm in this seat. But it will be studied and recommendations, and ultimately that's a City Council vote determination of that.
Well, and there was an initial contract with, is it Tool Design Group,
uh-huh.
that did
yeah.
recommend that?
They recommended considering it and studying it and saying it's been successful in other places. As I said, I do, you know, it's worth looking at that question, because one-way streets, again, are meant to move vehicles as quickly as possible. Is that what we want? That'll be the question for the city to decide.
So what else is being looked at? Because I know it's a corridor study, but I think we talked about this maybe even a year ago or a while ago. And I remember you saying this is a much bigger study.
You really look, and I'm not an expert on this, but you look at things like, for example, curb cuts. How many curb cuts are there, you know, that have developed over time? You look at sidewalk placement. You look at bike lanes. You look at buses. You know, we're going to be looking at a bus rapid transit on the 3rd Street east-west line, as you know. It may be worth looking at that on a north-south basis, too. So you really look at all those kind of mobility questions, and then you also, I think, look at, well, do you want more sidewalk cafes? Do you want, what's your streetscape look like? You know, do we want to have, and how do we extend the downtown rules farther south, or how does it change? You know, it's a corridor that goes through a lot of different areas.
And there's public input too. They're having walk and strolls or talk and stroll or something? I can't remember.
We love our department will help people either individually or in groups kind of walk along and get feedback as well as just general feedback. If you don't want to walk and talk with us, you can just go online. But we hope to get a lot of input from that, including all the people who own property along there, who patronize businesses there and use that corridor.
Any quick update on the Lower Cascades road closure proposal?
No, that's. No. I hope we'll go to council soon. We don't have a date for that yet.
And how about update on the police, fire department headquarters to City Hall here?
Yeah, you know, Joe, that's kind of one of those things where it's a big thing. It's $32 million plus project, and then it kind of gets quiet for a while because the architects are churning and sharpening their pencils. We're doing a big redo of Showers West, we now call that, which will be the police headquarters, plus 3 significant fire department buildings. So the architects are really busy. We'll start to see some action on that yet this year, I think.
What else? I always like to leave the last, any big announcements that
you know, one thing that's happening this week is kind of exciting at our water utility, which is they are unveiling a major report, Joe, that has looked at can we change our process or add a process technically for what's called anaerobic digestion not in the presence of oxygen, to basically create a giant composter that would take feedstock from not only our community but even miles and miles around and turn it into clean energy and use that energy to run the plant. We've been studying this for years. It's a big report. I've seen it. It's recommending tens of millions of dollars that can invest and pay itself off probably over time and make that's the single biggest electric user in our county, the wastewater plant, and turn it into a net zero energy potentially. So this week there's gonna be a presentation of that. I hope there'll be a lot of discussion about that too.
Wow, is that open to the public?
It is, public meeting. I think it's Wednesday night, it could be Thursday night, Joe, I'll have to check.
Yeah, and we can look that up and put it in a link on this podcast.
But it's a really big opportunity for our community, and I'm excited about it. And some of these are, you know, these are infrastructure, messy, big investments, but they really can change the trajectory of this community, make us cleaner, more sustainable, and help the whole area around us recycle compostable materials.
And there was a press release, I think, just today, too. Is it about violence or gun violence?
Joe, we've also been doing some important steps on violence and gun violence protection prevention. I had a meeting last week with a number of the leaders who in law enforcement, prosecution, university, health issues about what can we do about gun violence. I think we're going to continue that. Moms Demand Action helped us look at that. And then more generally, kind of community violence, we have a new grant program that Beverly Callender Anderson runs and is making available to neighborhoods about how just to prevent violence, working with our neighborhoods, supporting them, $125,000 that we want to see, how can we help get in front of this? You know, it's the prevalence of guns is overwhelming. We probably have over 150,000 in our county. They're used too often. And besides just gun violence, there's other issues we want to try to get ahead of.
As always, thank you so much for your time, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Joe.